Welcome to Spread Talk with Pam
and John,
also known as The Calm
Before the Storm.
Our purpose is to elevate the conversation and amplify special education resources.
And our why is about making the impossible possible.
Thank you both for being here. We definitely appreciate you taking the time to join us. We definitely wanted to talk to you. Before we do start that, though, we want to go around the table and let everybody know who is with us today. I'm Jennifer De Leon from Region 17 out of Lubbock.
Evan Heckman, Region 10.
Monica Quesada, Region 19, El Paso.
Lori Anderson, Region 7, Kilgore.
Molly Savant, Region 2, Corpus Christi.
Pam Humphrey, happily retired.
Okay, John Bullion, ESC Region 12. Oh, wait, no, Morgan ISD. Former liaison, now superintendent of Morgan ISD. Still in Region 12.
We're still in Region 12. So we wanted to visit with you today, kind of wanting to take a step back and take a look at where Sped Talk started, where it came from, because you guys had mentioned that these would be your final episodes with us. And so we wanted this final episode to with you, not the final episode of Sped Talk, but final episode with you to visit with us about where Sped Talk started. This is your baby. You two started Sped Talk. So when you started this, where you had kind of envisioned for this to go, and then where we had been these last 5 years. And then we kind of wanted to bring our vision in as far as what we are thinking the direction Sped Talk would be going. But at the same time, also talk a little bit about what you guys are doing now. And so there's kind of a, you know, we're trying to get a history, trying to see where, how it's evolved. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and say, Pam, I'm going to start with you.
Thank you, Jen. Sped Talk really became about because John and I were sitting there and I asked him, have you ever did a podcast? And he said, no. He said, but I want to. I was like, okay. So we were, at that time, we're kind of loose group for as liaisons as far as what direction we were going into. So we're all kind of, the collaborative groups have kind of started. We really weren't in a collaborative group yet. And we also have been discussing the Houston Chronicle article about special education in Texas. And as you all know, that was a very negative, very, very negative articles about special education in Texas. And I was of the firm belief that there were a lot of good things going on in special education and that there were teachers and staff and other personnel who were really doing great work, but they weren't being heard. And so John and I talked about, let's highlight the good things that are going on in special education by using through the format of a podcast. And I said, there was a guy at work at that time in Region 11, ESC 11, that was doing podcasts. And he said, you think he will help us with this? And I said, well, I can go back and talk with Brian. And he basically set us on our way and told us which format to use. And then we came together one spring break and recorded our first episode at Region 11. At that time, Amy Reed was with us and we went from there. John, you want to pick up?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it really was a project that Pam and I thought about for a bit before we jumped into it. You know, I really attribute a lot of the background, like potential for Sped Talk to become what it's become from the liaison, from us having this opportunity to come together, like from the very beginning with Pam and Evan and me, and just a few, of these OGs that are still probably there, but came together on this project. And the liaison project that is. And at first, because like Pam said, it was so loosely defined, we were given some autonomy over just creating some kind of new initiative or some type of new approach to kind of elevating special education at the state level. And so I feel like we were so blessed because we had the support of people like Dr. Justin Porter, you know, and Jennifer Patterson and Jennifer Alexander at the state level, who really kind of gave us a green light on this project. And I think Justin Porter, you know, at the time he wasn't, you know, associate commissioner or whatever, all that stuff, you know, but he was up there in TEA in the special ed world. And he was one of our first guests to come on. And so it really validated what we were trying to accomplish. And really the goal from the beginning was part of it for me, Pam and I had, I think, varying reasons. Pam was real big in transition. And I think part of her motivation was, look, I'm tired of giving people the same answers to the same questions. What if we could make a podcast? I don't think we ever got to that point. We never made that episode, which is ironic. For me, it was I had spent years as a director of a shared services arrangement in special ed before becoming a liaison. And I was so lost at first. I was so outside of the understanding of these different roles that I was having to administer and these the different areas of education I had to become relatively, you know, proficient at in order to ensure that my staff were moving in the right directions and providing the kind of services I wanted them to. So Sped Talk was one of these iterations of a project that I thought, hey, this could help directors. This could help people in the world of special education. Like Pam said at the time, there was all this negative connotation about at the state level, at the federal level, and even to all the way down to the local level when it comes to special education implementation. And so I felt like there was so much negative energy being focused in that direction. Pam and I agreed this would be a positive outlet. We could go because one of the things that was occurring in Texas is change. We were seeing a changing pendulum, right? A changing swing in the area of special education. We were getting not just negative attention, but there was positive change. So we just wanted to use Sped Talk as, you know, just as an apparatus to share some of those positive stories. And man, I'll tell you, it became some of the stories we were blessed to learn from and from the people that came on, the guests. It was just amazing. But so that's kind of where I think about it is we were blessed that the liaison project gave us the autonomy to kind of be creative and iterate, right, some of these projects. And so Sped Talk was just a prototype, you know, and in some ways, I think to this day, it's a prototype. And now you guys are going to get to reiterate yet another version of Sped Talk. And I love that it's going to be carried on and it's great people that are going to be doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And also,
go ahead, Pam. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to piggyback off of John as far as the support that Justin Porter gave us was that when he heard that it was going to be John and I doing the podcast, he looked at us both like, really? Because totally, yeah. As you all know, we're not particularly the same. You would not put these two peas in the same pot. How about that? And he was like, okay, let's see how this works. And then once he saw us together, he's like, okay, now I get this. Now I see how, you know, two different personalities can blend so well, but be very passionate about our work. And I think that was what kind of drove us. It was our passion coming from different perspectives, but very passionate about special education, about being positive. And that's has been really the big goal is being positive. If you listen to any of our episodes, we always highlight the positivity that is occurring. And I think that's where Justin really appreciated the work that we were doing. Because like I said, these are not two peas that will show up at anybody's pods. So.
Yeah, I still think we're cosmic twins though. Pam and I are just cosmic twins. We just, you know, maybe we have different backgrounds, but we do. We are so in tune with so many of our beliefs and our approaches.
Okay, Evan.
Thanks for permission for that. I appreciate it. We talk about where was Sped Talk and where it is and where it's going and kind of where it was. And listening to both of y'all talk, it reminded me, really, there were two things that y'all pinpointed as, let's make sure and do this in the vein of positivity. But one was, let's share the positive stuff that's going on out there. Let's tell stories of good things. And the other was, John, one of the things you mentioned a little bit was about, you know, what are the resources? And so I can remember in the first couple of years, very intentional acts on both of your parts to not just find good stories that were going on out there, but also to really highlight resources, statewide networks, et cetera, going on. Tell me a little bit about either one of you. Pam, we'll let you go first. What sticks out to you as one or two of those things that you talked about early in the first couple of years of this process?
Okay. I think when we start looking for resources across Texas, because first we went out. And what stick out to me probably was when we went to College Station and we did an on-site episode with their and how they were very intentional about recruiting students and how many of their students were like parents were Aggies. And they thought, you know, their child, would, because they had a disability, would not have that experience of being an Aggie and actually being on campus. But they were making that happen for a few students at that time and how dedicated they were about recruiting students, supporting the students, making sure those students were integrated into Aggie life. They weren't just isolated somewhere on campus. They were part of that, the culture of being an Aggie. And they were working toward a certificate in an area where they could pursue a job afterwards. And I think that was one of those episodes that would always stick with me because at that time, pre-COVID and Zoom, we were road, you know, it was road trips. We were making our little mics and heading with our laptops out. And that was one of the first trips we took. And that, I think from a transition point of view, being able to see it there and actually talk with the students definitely was meaningful to me.
Yeah, I'll jump in on that. You know, I think it was Aggie Achieve.
Yes.
Maybe the Aggie Achieve program. And then following up with Texas A&M San Antonio with, you know, with everything that came out of the Burleson Center and their partner, you know, Edgewood ISD and their partner with A&M down there and creating these on-ramps for students to, you know, it's just another example of how, even though A&M is one large system, they were kind of customizing how they were working with students with disabilities in different areas of Texas through these two programs. But I still say too, I got amped up every time we talked to Joe Hinojosa at Burleson Center, and you know, he would just show us all the amazing things they were doing down there, you know, with their campus and district wide. I just, to me, that impacted me majorly. And the other was having the opportunity in the first 2 years to go to Morgan's Wonderland and to actually have that purpose, you know, utilize design thinking, 4DX, and really help kind of iterate and move along their curriculum, because they use TEKS-based curriculum for those field trips when kids come out to that ultra-accessible theme park, you know, Morgan's Wonderland. I didn't know about Morgan's Wonderland before that, fell in love with it and with their purpose and their mission and their vision. And so I felt like, yeah, that Aggie Achieve, the Burleson Center, Morgan's Wonderland, those are really indicative of the kind of amazing examples we landed on early in those first couple years of SPED Talk. We were so blessed. But once again, the liaison role empowered us, because these were examples of either people that fellow liaisons put us in contact with, like with Joe Hinojosa and Burleson Center, or work that we were actually partaking in as liaisons at going out to Morgan's Wonderland and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, those are episodes that will always, they really have an impact on me to this day when I think through my current role, the things I'm doing, and how I want to make sure that we are creating excellence in what we're trying to do on a smaller scale. And really then, you know, jumping into years three is when I think Pam had the idea. We said, why don't we try to, you know, we have all these statewide leadership networks. So why don't we take a moment and intentionally go and say, hey, we want to have every one of these statewide leadership networks on, because the resources that were coming out, the programs, the resources, the trainings were so awesome. And like Evan said, some of these were things that even new directors to this day, when they start in this role, you know, in special ed administration, aren't aware that there is just this plethora of resources. So I'm currently sharing a lot of these statewide networks resources with my current staff here in Morgan ISD, because a lot of people here are still just unaware of some of this stuff. So yeah, I think all of those are examples of how we tried to be intentional. Not well, one, we've been lucky, we've been blessed, and we've been lucky to have those kind of stories come and brought to us by other liaisons. But I think the networks was a logical thing to do, and I'm glad we went that direction, because we really had the opportunity to showcase some of the excellence that Texas at the state level is embarking on for special education supports.
I agree with John. I think with the networks and with the different leads, but they wanted people to hear what they were doing, and they welcomed the opportunity to share on SPED Talk. And that was really exciting. They were like, yes, we'll do it. Please, we'll come back on. So I'm just saying that because they'll come back on. So you guys will know that.
Thank you. Thank you for that. We'll use that. Both of y'all said something that I appreciate, and it's great as far as kind of segue in this conversation a little bit. First, John, I want to say, you said we were lucky. Well, you know, they say luck is where preparation meets opportunity. So, you know, we've been putting the work in and having these things pop up in front of us. You know, one of the opportunities we're taking advantage of now, kind of in our current iteration of this, is opportunities to reach out to more people. Right? How else do we find a way for the message to get out there? And so, you know, within this last year, we've done some things as far as how are we recording the episodes? How are we sharing the episodes? You guys, you know, John, you've always been a part of, hey, let's make sure we push this out via social media outlets. We're talking about, we've done a couple of video episodes this year. You know, different format. We've recorded a Spanish episode. Heck, we even did a video recording of an episode with one of our TEA reps who leads the Deaf Hard of Hearing Network, right, where she signed. And so how do we get this message out has kind of been one of the things that we're focusing on now. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what do you think about that? Do you have any ideas or anything you want to share about who or how else we might get the message out before we kind of segue into where do we think SPED Talk is going moving forward? Anybody, Pam, John, anybody?
I think, Evan, that I think, you know, probably we've talked about this before, is, you know, utilizing social media a little bit better than what we've utilized. It's kind of up that game. I like the fact that, you know, with the Zoom opportunity that you can also do the have the video podcast and make sure we're highlighting that this podcast is on video, especially the episode with Emily Robinson, the TEA, the Deaf and Hard of Hearing episode. I think as people learn that the podcast can be viewed in more format, I think that will help as well. Most people, you know, our subscribers, I mean, they know when new episodes are dropping because they're hooked into SPED Talk. But I think we just need to be more intentional about letting people know that, hey, you can actually see the episode if you want to see the episode, not just hear the episode. And also, I think what we were doing before I retired, you know, highlighting it with the liaison so they can share that information with the special education director should continue on, because I think that's really a good piece for his advertisement going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that we're working on to push forward too, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but I appreciate you saying that. Now, how else do we share it and who do we share it with? I think we've had some conversations this morning about, you know, who's our audience, right? John, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that it's important for SPED Talk to do two things. One is stay true to what it was originally intended to be, and to continue to to provide new content and ever-changing episode formats and things like that as well. So that's the second thing. So I think one is to continue an audio podcast, because I think that there's a place for audio podcasts out there like Sped Talk that could really grow and grow and grow in popularity the more and more people are aware of it. So, but the other is there's also a lot of popularity now with video podcasts. And so, but I think that it might be important to try to continue having a platform where you can, even if you're doing video podcasts, you can release the audio version and you don't lose that market share, you know? So I think that's something to consider. The other thing I think is that, you know, I know for us, none of us, or I don't know, I don't think any of us here were, you know, marketing experts and stuff. And so we just kind of followed our gut and did the things we thought were important. But I think anytime someone is passionate about something and they pour their passions into a project and they don't worry so much about making people happy or pleasing other people, they do things that bring joy to themselves, knowing that, hey, this will bring joy to others, right? This is why we do this. We're highlighting these kind of stories, these kind of episodes, these kind of things. I think that the natural flow is that more and more people take interest because passion is contagious, right? And so people like to tune in and be part of something that makes a difference in the lives of others. So, you know, I think it's important to, you know, I love that, like with Texas Sensory Support Network, right? That's a video, going to be a video version of that, because once again, some of those listeners potentially, hopefully, will need that to have a video format to be able to view or to hear that episode. And so, but I think too, like the idea of doing Spanish episodes, the idea of, to me, like the sky's the limit. I think you really need to continue to push the envelope and iterate and remember that Sped Talk is a prototype. This is not like the polished end result. We never wanted this to be like, you know, hey, this is the produced show and it's so fixed that there's no room for creativity or change. And I think that's why we never wanted to fully script episodes, because we wanted it to be organic and we wanted to be able to let the episode go the direction that our guests took us, because it was, Pam and I always believed it was less about she and I, and it was more about the stories that we were elevating. And so I think that it's important to remember that. Sometimes it's tempting to want to make everything fit, and to do so, we need to structure things. But I think things can become overstructured and stagnate sometimes. So you got to just be careful trying to build the right structure in as you, because as you scale this, it'll need to have more structure, more, you know, everything from years 2, 3, when Jen came on and all that. And then we started having more of an intentional scheduling process and different things like that have helped the show. The last thing I'll add to that is the idea of when we started bringing other liaisons behind the scenes, yeah, not just to be, hey, do you know anybody? Let us say, but, you know, hey, come be part of this, bring your talents and your expertise to this project. That's when Sped Talk took off. That's when the Barbara Jordan Media Awards and the stories that were epic started coming our way, because all of a sudden it wasn't Pam and I trying to grind out just every possible opportunity. It was this group of people from across the state with diverse experience, expertise, all that kind of stuff. And so I think the more and more y'all can continue to bring new members into Sped Talk, you can continue to allow additional voices to come through. I think it's just going to strengthen the show.
You mentioned the Barbara Jordan Media Awards. Let's talk about that for just a few seconds, a few minutes. Sped Talk not only got one, they got two awards for a couple of episodes. Talk to us a little bit about the accomplishment behind those awards. What does that mean to you?
I think for me, because when John said, you know, that a professor at Baylor was going to nominate us, and I thought, okay, that sounds great. And that was kind of it with me. It sounds great. But then when we got it, it was like, okay, people are appreciating the work that we're doing. They're hearing it. And it was more meaningful at that point. But more than the award, I think it was the interaction with Kami and as well as with, I'm going to lose his name. Somebody help me here. Simon. Yes. Thank you. I think that interaction was so positive, was so meaningful. And just to have Simon's voice for this episode, for that episode, really was a game changer. Because I think that was the first, well, I guess we had other episodes where we had students, but that was the first one where the student actually took the lead and shared his story and how what unified sports meant to him and how that changed his life. And then having a teacher who was pushing them out of their comfort zone, out of the classroom and making them quote unquote mingle with other students. And for that episode to win the Barbara Jordan Award, that was, to me, that was really excellent, because I think sometimes in special education, we lose sight of the students and we definitely lose sight of their voices and not hearing what a teacher means to them and the impact that one person can make. And for that, the award had probably much more meaning for me than it probably than just winning an award, if that makes sense.
I concur. No, I think that Pam really summed it up. It was neat. Like it was validating, right? The whole idea that this project, which was always just a little side project that we were passionate about. I think Pam and I selfishly poured so much into it because we enjoyed it so much. It brought us so much joy. It brought us, you know, sometimes we do work that's important, that matters, that changes people's lives, but it doesn't, it may not be the kind of work that just instantly gives us that intrinsic feeling of joy, you know, satisfaction. Like, you know, you don't always get to see the real impact of your work. And so Sped Talk was one of those shows or one of those experiences for me in my life where it was just born of our own courage to go out and take a chance and put together this show and you know, beat down doors and ask for people to come on and talk about their experiences. And then for it to be validated at the level of receiving Barbara Jordan Media Awards, you know, it really was. It was the first time we received it. I think I was talking to Pam and almost started crying, you know, because you work your whole career to do things that you're passionate about. And so it was just really rewarding and validating that it was seen as a positive example of really impacting individuals with differing abilities in a positive way, you know. So there was that was really big. And then even, you know, our second one, I feel like the two episodes that we received our Barbara Jordan Media Award really exemplified, ironically enough, exemplified what we were trying to accomplish with a podcast like this. So, and then those were the two that elevated to the level. So we've done tons of amazing episodes with amazing guests. These two were really standout episodes. And they were kind of almost tearjerkers, you know? I mean, and so I think we were moved by these episodes, right? They impacted us, you know, changed us in a lot of ways. So to have them recognized with Barbara Jordan Media Awards was just amazing. Like Pam, I'd never heard of a Barbara Jordan Media Award before in my life, you know? And then they nominated, it was like, oh, we got this. Oh, wow. You know? And so, yeah, it was really cool. I have every reason to expect that this team will be receiving a Barbara Jordan Media Award in coming years. And so I don't think that boat has sailed. I think that this is just getting started, hopefully. So now I look forward to seeing some of these new episodes come out and to see where the podcast goes, you know, from here.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about where the podcast goes from here. Pam, I appreciate you mentioning something in your last response there before the Barbara Jordan Media Award. And that was about one of the things that this team has started to do. And Patty has joined us. She's over there nodding her head at me as I'm talking. know, Patty Garcia out of Abilene 14. She's with us too. And I appreciate that you, John, talked about how important it was to have the team members behind the scenes, because one of the things that the people have been doing, and Pam talked about it, was in the light of how do we share this and how can we use this information, they've taken the format of let's create a couple of share slides, let's pick an episode, highlight it, talk about what that content is, and put it in a two or three slide format that we at Liaison Week can all take a quick look at and then take back to our regions to share with SPED directors so they can look at that information and say, ah, this is another piece of information, how I might be able to share this with others or how I might be able to use this with my team, even if it's just, hey, let's do a culture building exercise and let's all sit around and listen to the episode and talk about it. So that's one of the things that we've been doing, which I think is cool and is another way to share this information. And that was the brainchild of a couple of people who you probably haven't heard their voices very much on these episodes, right? As you sit here and listen to me talk the whole time. But that's one of the things that we're doing. And one of the things that we're going to be doing as we move forward is consider how else to take either new episodes that we record or episodes that currently exist and determine how to tie in an existing resource or create a new resource that go with the episode and the content to share out to people so that they have something that they can use to go along with the episode that they might listen to. Talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on that, how you think that could be impactful. John, you're in a situation where you've got people who might benefit from future use of resources. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea. I think that I love, you know, just a few episodes back where I think Pam had said, hey, I have an idea for combining a couple of these episodes or for, you know, utilizing a couple of these episodes to highlight upcoming trainings at ESC Region 11. We're doing one on inclusion or we're doing one on co-teach. And I think this would be a great way for me to be able to share this out as a segue to, if you'd like more information or training or opportunities to learn about said topic, contact ESC Region 12 or ESC Region 11 or your ESC. Because we've got things ready to go, you know. So I think the more that we actually, sometimes you have to make it relevant to people. You have to show them, this is why, you know, I mean, you probably would enjoy the podcast if you listen to it, but it's not just a podcast to listen to. It's actually relevant in the areas you're trying to learn something. So I think it's a great idea to do that. And I think the more that we're, that you guys are intentional about how you market these episodes, you know, not just that you market the episodes, but how you market them very intentionally between service centers and between, and even in the growing educational community, that you tie it to a need, you know, because that's what so many people are looking for is, okay, so why do I need this? And the minute you make that connection for them, then all of a sudden they're tuning in for other reasons. And so, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
And maybe it inspires change was what I was thinking. So many of the stories that were shared are good feel stories, but they also can inspire, like, what can I do in, you know, with my job, with my work. Hearing the story about student-led IEPs, you know, we talked a little bit about that. So what resource can we share out? Well, maybe there is a resource, or maybe it inspires you to create something within your own district, right? John, I just want to make a comment. Both you and Pam created something, and I heard you say, you know, you all just had, there was that joy. Right. And I don't want that to be lost as we move forward either. Right. The fun, the joy, and also making it really about what's shared out. Right. So thank you for reframing that and for grounding us in that. Because I think we have to remember those things. Right. We can get so lost in just structuring it that we forget the intention of it. And so just going back to that.
You did talk about the couple of episodes, you know, the College Station episode and then the Burleson Center episode, you know, standing out. I do want to ask, though, do you each have a favorite episode that once it was done, it was just like, oh, I think this has been the best one ever, or this was just the best content ever? Do either of you have a favorite that will just stay with you for the rest of your life?
Boy, that's a tough question, Jen.
That is.
Spot. You guys on the spot. We've had some wonderful episodes.
I know.
Episodes. Yeah. You know, you guys mentioned the one with Burleson Center. I still remember them coming into a meeting with us when we were trying to get t-shirts printed. And those kids were like, we're going to print these t-shirts. It's this many t-shirts. And this is how much it's going to cost. But it was funny because at first they didn't want to talk to us. They were very shy, very nervous, and very, it just, the kids conducting the business part of really stands out for me. But then I also have the one with Nikki Daniel, where she was her own advocate for her boys, both boys being born with autism, that just from a parent perspective. And then she came on, become a teacher herself after she had all of these years advocating. And so those are two that really stand out. But we've got some incredible episodes, you know, Vicki Keeler with Alcove. And so, but is there one that just you keep going back to that just pulls at your heart?
You know, I think the Loving Students Doesn't Lower Expectations, the one you mentioned with Nikki, I think that one was a big one for me. I also think, the Burleson Center ones just got me charged up. You know, it's interesting. I don't have favorites really. Like I love every one of them. Like, it's like, it's your baby. And so it's like with my kids, I love them all, not one of them anymore, but in different ways. And so like each of these episodes, and maybe cause like with Evan and I, like we get so intimately involved cause we're editing them, we're going back, we're listening critically. We're really trying to fine tune the episodes. And so I don't know if maybe that's why like everyone kind of becomes my favorite for that period of time. But really, it's not so much that every one of the episodes we've recorded has changed me and has had impact on me. And I think that's why I've received so much positive energy from them, is because when they're ready to go out and they go out, I know that we've done everything in our power, one, to capture these amazing stories each time, but two, to make sure they're as high quality of an end product as we can. And so, because my goal is always to honor the time and the commitment of our guests that come on, to make sure that when we release these episodes, that they're proud that they came on and told their story. Because it takes a little courage to come on to a podcast, especially most of our guests have never been on one, and then to kind of pour their heart out for whoever decides they want to tune in and listen. So, for me, every one of them becomes my episode for a season. And then, I move to the next one and then it becomes my, I do reflect. There are a few that stand out. We've mentioned a lot of those already. The one about Buffalo Gap Run, that one still kind of resonates. And I still think about, y'all need a sped talk car and y'all need to do that run in the future. Sign me up if y'all do that. I'll come out and be a guest. And then the Biddy and Bose episode. I still think the Biddy and Bose episode was one that just what they as an organization, the coffee shop, that they're doing to create opportunities for individuals with certain disabilities in the workforce. And it's part of their mission, their vision, their whole purpose in being. So that one stands out to me. But really, they're all, to me, my favorite.
I don't think I really have a favorite. But I think there's a couple that really stick out. And the ones that John named definitely do with me as well. But I think probably the first recording we did with Justin Porter, and it really wasn't so much about, it was about having the conversation with him. But at that time, we were looking for space just to do a recording. And I think we did that recording in the Ayers building. And it was like, we were supposed to be in the room we were in. We kind of snuck into a room and did our recording. And that was kind of the way we did things back then. We just took advantage of opportunities that we thought, oh, there's a vacant room. We have our mic, we have our laptop, we're ready to go. And I think that recording, which is probably one of our most listened to recordings, episodes, was one of the was a good one because I think it validated what we were trying to do. We received TA's blessing for, you know, doing what we wanted to do. And the fact that Justin was willing to go along with us and gave us the time to conduct it, the interview was really great, and have that episode. I think about just those first years of doing this. It was kind of like,
yeah,
you know, we were just kind of wild and not really structured. So it was just,
yeah,
just that whole atmosphere of pulling off an episode, a recording, with nothing. We had no budget. We had no money. We just had the passion to do the work.
Yeah. And we kept asking people and they kept saying yes.
Exactly. And then we'd find somewhere to do it. Like I said, pre-Zoom, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And I would say the episode, I think that kind of helped me see that sped talk can go so broad is probably with the episode we had with the executive director of Region 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, once again, using a liaison to make that connection with the executive director and finding out his story, that he was a former special education teacher and then moving up as superintendent and then, you know, ESC special education, not special, ESC executive director, which is a rarity for someone in special education to have that type of position. And also to be African-American and to be probably one, I think I'm right, the first African-American executive director for any of the ESCs. I think that moment was also a moment of validation that he was willing to come on and discuss special education, his thoughts on education at the time. And especially that day when Houston ISD was notified by TEA, you know, they were going into conservatorship, but he made time for us.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And that was like, you know, he could easily have counseled and say, hey, a lot of fires here. And we would have just said, okay, whenever you can, you know, come on. But he saw the importance of coming on with the Sped Talk team. And that was some validation that what we're doing is important for someone to take time out of their busy schedule to give us their time so we could ask questions and learn from them. So that was very meaningful to me.
Yeah, I agree, Pam. I thought that was huge that Dr. Watson came on and wanted to spend a little time kind of, you know, just sharing on Sped Talk. And there was a time, I can remember maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I had a mentor and I was in special ed administration. And it's been a long time ago. He's long since been retired. But he made a comment to me back then that I think at the time it kind of rung true, but I don't think it does anymore. He said, John, you know, at some point you might want to consider making a lateral move or something out of special ed. You know, you kind of exemplified special ed, administration, all this stuff, but now you might want to diversify yourself. And he made a comment that at the time really offended me, but now I look back on it, it kind of makes sense why he said it. He said, special ed is a place where people's careers go to die. And I was like, what? You know, I didn't say that. I just tried to figure out what he was talking about. But for a long time, not just in Texas, but special ed was an afterthought, right? It was subpar. Even though other directors of departments would be in central office, the SPED director would be out on a campus hidden somewhere, or you know what I mean? Those kinds of things. And so, I think he was not trying to be a negative influence. He was saying, hey, you know, if you want to be taken really serious and not get the short end of the stick, you ought to consider making a move at some point, you know? Well, I doubled down on special ed. I mean, I was like, nah, that's special ed is just as important or more important than half of these other departments. And so now I look around the state and I look at so many of my colleagues out in the profession in roles, director roles, other administrative positions. And the expectation for special education has just skyrocketed, right? Now more than ever, we expect our students of all ability to have ever increasing learning opportunities. And so there's not near the stigma in the adult minds of what there was 10, 15, 20 years ago in the area of special education. And so that's what gets me excited about special education, is that I feel like that momentum has shifted. And now people take special education and special education teachers and administrators more serious. And we're considered just as relevant and important, if not more so, than some of our colleagues in other areas.
I would agree with you, John. I think as you look at special education and you look at what's going to change a school trajectory is how well students with disabilities are doing. If you can impact that population of students, then you can impact the other population of students. You know, whereas before the thought was, we don't have to worry about this population, but the truth of the matter is, yes, you need to worry. If you can change and improve their outcomes, you're gonna improve the outcomes of your other students as well. Because hard work, it's gonna take hard work to do that and make those improvements. And I think as people realize that, if we invest in good special education teachers and invest in good learning strategies and teaching strategies, we're going to make the outcomes. We're going to improve outcomes for all students. You know, special education is no longer the afterthought. It's really about, okay, right, how can we improve our teaching? How can we deliver quality instruction for all students? And make sure our teachers are equipped to do that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, TEA doesn't always make everybody happy because our state agency is regulatory. But there's been a lot of things that have occurred at the state level that has empowered schools to achieve improvements. And so I attribute that a lot to our state agency and the direction that they have steered the state in regards to special ed implementation and administration, right? They've really raised the bar for us, not just compliance wise, but outcomes wise, and challenged the schools throughout the state to really think a little differently about how we educate our students with disabilities. And so I think that has had a positive impact on school systems.
Yeah, that has definitely been a push for TEA. It's, you know, making all of these initiatives, bringing all of these initiatives, because it has pushed a lot of that to the forefront, special ed, especially, you know, through better tier one instruction, you know, using MTSS and splitting it out from instruction behavior and mental health, you know, and in all of these, it's really putting a focus on how do you differentiate, but how do you differentiate for all kids? Differentiate for your GT kid, for your EL kid, or your EB kid, for your special ed kid, but really focus on that tier one instruction. Do it at that level before you start assigning labels and moving that direction. Mm-hmm. Shared a lot. You guys have really made an impact on students, or on the state of Texas, for students with disabilities through the work that you've done. You know, Pam was our transition guru. John had become like our funding and program implementation specialist. That's who a lot of people turn to you. To be able to say, to understand funding, to understand how to implement the program. So you two, without realizing it, or if you do realize it, I'm glad you do, because you are two people that have had a huge impact on special education in the state of Texas. And Don, you know, you are not out of education. You are now a superintendent at a district where you can bring that knowledge and that expertise and implement it in a different way. Pam, with you, you've retired, but you still have so much knowledge that needs to be shared. But definitely understand that time comes when you have to put yourself first and move forward. And so I definitely want to say thank you to both of you for the impact that you've had, for the knowledge that you've shared. John, you continue to share it. Pam, you are moving on to your next journey. Anything anyone else wants to add? Anything?
Yeah, let me do this. I'm going to give each person at the table an opportunity to ask or say one thing. And if they don't want to, that's fine. And then we're going to come back to the two of you. And I want each of you to share a parting thought with us before we say goodbye. I'm going to start with Monica. Monica, anything you want to ask? Anything you want to say?
You know, your story is so interesting because, as you said, it started from just these brainchild ideas that you had, your own personal views and feelings about SPED and sending that message. But I think the best things in life start with that kind of passion. It's not about the money you have or a room that you had to sneak into, you know, because that's how we roll here, right? We got to get the work done. But it's the passion that you have behind whatever it is you do. You know you're going to be successful in it. And I think the awards that SPED Talk has received and how you've been received across the state in service centers and amongst the liaison group speaks volumes for the fact that you are spreading these positive messages that we need to hear all the time to remind us, you know, why we're doing what we're doing. So thank you, guys.
I echo what Monica said. I also want to say that each of you in your own way have encouraged all of us, you know, as we come in as new liaisons or whatever the case may be. And so, you know, your legacy lives on through us in this liaison group. You know, I can't think of a liaison week that we don't say something positive about Pam or John, right? Like, yeah, hey, remember this or that or whatever. So thank you for creating that culture, even within our liaison group. And I joined the SPED Talk collaborative group recently, you know, in the last 6 months or so, mainly to learn more about it and to be I saw it as something extremely positive that I wanted to help continue to spread the word about. And I didn't feel like I had enough information, or I didn't feel like I thought about it enough, not being in the collaborative group to talk about it with our SPED directors or our team at the ESC or whoever will listen, right? But I really am excited about the share slide and the way that this is going in our liaison group to spread the word among our group, so then they can then take that back. So I'm just excited to be a part of what you guys established as a really great resource, a great tool, and just kind of a great family. So thank you.
First day here at SPED Talk International.
That's exciting. Oh my gosh, are you excited?
Well, I mean, you guys know me. I'm so excited about all the great things that SPED people do for kids, just from a parent point of view. And, you know, Pam and I have talked about that a lot. And so when Jen and I talked about months ago, I'm going to mull on this. And so I'm excited when they got brought back up, hey, come on, come do this. I'm excited to be a part of it and have that. I have that passion to bring stories and let people know there's great people doing great things and how we can support that. But what I want to ask you guys is, so we heard about the things that you enjoyed or the favorites, but is there anybody that you didn't get the opportunity to talk to, or any topics that you didn't get to bring up that you would have liked to, that maybe we could in the future hit on or speak to?
That's a good question.
Pam, y'all have to do that transition episode. You have to get Pam back on for a follow-up episode, and y'all have got to record that one episode, which was half of the reason we started SPED Talk. And then the other thing is, Pam had an idea. This was, I don't know, a couple of years ago, that why don't we get Governor Abbott on and talk? But I think he's kind of maybe not the best choice to be a guest right now, just because, but you know, just with his experience with disability and all, you know, so I don't know. Anyway,
That was, for the record, that was John's idea. That was
not mine idea. Yeah. Okay.
I think we had talked about that several times. We did talk about that one several times.
Well, but I think SPED Talk is the kind of platform that you could do that. It, everybody has a baggage of good and bad and stuff in their lives, right? And everything's hyper-political now. We've always wanted this to not be a political podcast and to not be a gripe session, right? These were the two things. We didn't really focus on what we didn't want. We always just steered towards what we wanted to accomplish and achieve in the vein we wanted to do so. But those were two things we always intentionally avoided. Right. We're not trying to sell people things. We're not trying to be negative and gripe about things. And we're not trying to politicize things. And so, but I still think there's a way, you know, everyone is a human being. Everyone has a unique story. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you know, my daughter asked me the other day, just out of the blue, she, because I've been sharing a little bit, maybe I'm just kind of having a hard time letting go. But she asked, I mentioned the other day that we'd be recording today, and this would probably be one of my last episodes to kind of be officially associated with Sped Talk. And she said, gosh, aren't you sad? And because she's seen how much, you know, we've poured ourselves into this project over the last 4 or 5 years. And it's funny because in that moment, I stopped and thought, am I sad? And I'm not. I'm not sad. I am excited. I'm still excited for what Sped Talk will become. I'll still be tuning into the episodes and hearing, and who knows, maybe get invited back at some point to come on. And definitely I'm a supporter, once a Sped Talker, always a Sped Talker. But I'm not sad. I'm excited for this next chapter. And I'm excited that something that Pam and I dreamed up will live on, because I still think that there is purpose and value in what Sped Talk has to offer.
Patty has rejoined us, and so I want Patty to have the opportunity to have her.
Well, I just want to, you know, I've been mulling over this too. It is a little sad, not for you guys. I feel a little sad because y'all are leaving a legacy, and it's not a goodbye, right? It's a, we'll invite you later, and we're going to do that last episode. Well, not a last episode, but we are going to do that episode, Pam. So, Even if we catch you on vacation, somewhere else, but you all just brought the energy and you know, the calm and the sort of like, I admire so many things about each one of you, and I can just go on forever and I'm not going to cry, but John, you know, just your high energy and the love and the joy, and then Pam, your humility and your way to see people be. It, we're not Pam and John, but we bring a different value. And so moving on, I hope that each one of us and whoever comes after us, right? Because hopefully this isn't like, even after any of us leave, Sped Talk continues, because we want those stories to be shared and pivot when we need to and change where we need to meet the needs of those around us as the world changes too. I just want to honor you too. I love you both for the personality you all bring to the show. And I'm not going to cry right now. I might cry later, but this is not a goodbye. Thank you all. Thank you for bringing this.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Nope, that's okay. I miss you guys. I miss you guys tremendously. I miss so many things about you as far as in our liaison group. And, you know, I come to these meetings and I know that we've got some wonderful people here, but Pam and John are not here. Mm-hmm. And Pam and John are not going to be a part of Sped Talk the way we knew Pam and John to be a part of Sped Talk. But like I said before, just this, the knowledge and the respect and the passion that you guys brought. I just hope that we live up to that expectation. Like Patty said, you know, we definitely bring something different to Sped Talk. We can't bring what you guys brought, but I hope that we stay true to what your vision was. And that's something that we have actually been discussing as we try to move forward and try to think about how are we going to plan and vision, you know, how are we going to reiterate Sped Talk to stay true to what you guys intended. But I definitely, I want you to know that you were very valued here. We want to have you guys back at some point. Yes, Pam, I've made myself a note. We will record that transition episode, but thank you, because if you had not created this podcast, I don't know that we wouldn't be here, first of all, and we wouldn't have the resources that we have to share with the rest of the state. And you know, and once we look at analytics and stuff, we've actually gone worldwide. So that's huge. That's something that you should definitely be proud of. And so we thank you for that. Evan?
All right. Molly called us Sped Talk International.
See? The multi-level marketing.
Absolutely accurate.
Pyramid scheme.
Knowing that our analytics say that we've been listened to in a variety of countries, I'm going to say something that neither one of y'all said, but I know you well enough to know you were both thinking it. This is a two-time Barbara Jordan Media award-winning podcast. And I think that the thing that both of you didn't say that I know is true about both of you, while it was cool to get the awards and while it's validating, you're probably just more excited about the fact that the awards could potentially lead to more persons listening to it and helping the message get out and spread further. And that speaks a lot to the two of you and to why you wanted to do this, not for you, but for everybody else. So I'm going to say thank you for that. Thank you to both of you. And I'm going to give each of you the opportunity to have one last parting thought before we say goodbye.
Pam, go ahead.
All righty. I think when I left the service center, my last day, not really my last day, but close to my last day at the service center, and someone asked me, how did I go about my work? And I said, I always remember the book I read long time ago is called Other People's Children. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it through the lens of when I'm working with teachers, I'm working with somebody else's child. When I'm working with students, I'm working with somebody else's child. When I'm engaging with colleagues, it's the same thing, is that mm-hmm. I always looked at it from the lens of how would I want someone to treat my child? Or how would I want someone to treat me as the child of my mother, my father? And this is the way I've kind of looked at this project, is that, yes, we're talking about serving students with disabilities and working with teachers, but we're also talking about other people's kids. And as an educator, sometimes it's easy to get lost in all the minutia and all the other stuff that comes with special education and compliance, but the reality of it is, on a personal level, you're working with somebody else's child. And if you embrace that idea, is that I would want to treat that child like I want my child to be treated or myself to be treated, and to be looked at with compassion, with passion, with joy. And in my world, it's always about having fun. Then you can move through this, because it's like, I want life to be lived to the fullest, and I want to engage with people to the fullest as much as they will allow me to engage with them. And as you all move forward, think about this podcast, as Jen knows, as you know, I said, this is my baby. So this is my child. I'm giving this child to you all. Be compassionate with it. Be passionate about the work. Be kind to one another.
Yeah.
It's easy to get crossways and get misunderstood when you're working with a group. But realize, you know, whatever your disagreements are, it really doesn't matter, because the outcome's going to be whatever you guys make out of it. So be kind to each other. Disagree to agree to disagree. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no right or wrong way of doing this podcast. You know, John and I click, like I said, no one would thought that, but we never argued about anything. You know, I just kind of thought, okay, he's going to do it his way. I know, leave it alone. Be compassionate, be passionate, and just be kind, and just allow each other the opportunity to grow. You know, each one of you are bringing gifts to this project. And allow each gift to shine through. There's no right or wrong way. It's just your way of doing it, and say, okay, this episode, this is where we're going to roll this out. It may be different from the next episode, which is fine. You know, your listeners are going to want you to be authentic, to be caring, and to hear that come through. You know, people I've met who recognize my voice and say, oh, you're Pam. We, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's weird, but yes, I am. And it's like, I like the way you share, because I can tell you that you believe in what you're sharing with us. That's what you want. You want you to come across, and you want people to hear you and what you're bringing to the table. And like I said, each one of you bringing different talents, different experience. So share. And like I said, be kind to one another. Don't get bogged down in stuff that really doesn't matter in the end. Just go forward and have fun. Because this was a labor of love, but it was also a labor of fun. Okay, John.
Well, Pam has always been the calm to my storm, but she just stole my thunder. So I think on this parting episode, she has officially became the storm. And now I'll be the calm, I guess. I don't know. Good luck with that. But yeah, I think she's really summed it up. You know, my big thing is I've thought a lot about, as my staff comes back this year, I'm not big on rules. I'm big on having procedures in place so that people know what to do, how to do, when to do. And you don't punish people. You encourage people. You coach people. You teach people. You work with them. You get in the trenches together. And so the three big things I've focused on with my staff for this year is kind of the same three things I think that drove me and that I hope you guys continue to remember with Sped Talk. And that is be passionate, be positive, and have fun. Just do those three things. And Pam just said those, right? And I think it's important that we take others seriously. We take the work seriously, but we don't take ourselves real seriously. Like, I think sometimes we get stuck thinking that we have to be something to someone or be important or be, and really we want to be the least important person in the room. We want the other people around us to be the important people. That's not always easy to do because we as individuals have needs. And so we're always trying to fill our needs just as others are trying to fill their needs. But yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, it's important to remember that it takes courage to be vulnerable. You know, you got to take chances if you want to get outside of that comfort zone of just being who you are. And if you ever find that you're working on this project and you aren't feeling passionate or positive or having fun and you can't work through that, step aside, let someone else come in, you know, because I think we all go through seasons in our life. Sped Talk will always be, I may not leave, maybe I'll just, no, I'm just kidding. So Sped Talk will always be probably one of the most satisfying projects that I ever participated in. I attribute it to the liaison project that I had the courage to sign up for this social experiment, not knowing what it was going to be or what we're supposed to do. Or I love that it has evolved and continued to evolve year after year. I just hope that if Sped Talk continues to serve a purpose and if people continue to stay passionate about it, maybe it will live on. So just excited for what's to come.
We appreciate y'all so much. Very thankful, blessed to have both of you. Nothing but the best for the both of you going forward. And we'll be in touch. Y'all have a great day.
Okay, you all too.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
John, tell everyone how they can continue to elevate the conversation about special education in Texas.
You got it, Pam. They can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SpedTalk 2020. Because in these disconnected times, connecting with others has never been so important. Now more than ever, it takes courage to create culture and kindness to keep us connected.
If you enjoyed this episode of Sped Talk, be sure to share it with a friend, because information should always flow through us, not to us. We couldn't do this without you, our listeners, and we need your help sharing the amazing transformation occurring in special education. Together, we can change the trajectory of learning opportunities in Texas for students with disabilities. If you have ideas, information, or resources that you think we should share on an upcoming episode of Sped Talk, let us know at SpedTalk 2020 on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And be sure to like our page while you're there. Oh yeah, and if you get a chance, please consider giving us a positive review on the podcast platform that you listen to Sped Talk.